Now, friends, can you believe it?
2018,
it's almost over. Has it gone by quickly, do you think? For you? For me, I think it's gone by too quickly. There's only one day to go before 2018 is consigned to the dusty shelves of history. Just think about that. But as I was thinking about that just the other day, it made me think, not just where has the time gone, but also, what do you reckon was the top news story of 2018? Anyone think what that could be? For some, the top news story of 2018 would definitely have to be Brendan Singh's wedding, do you think? Well done to Brendan, but I don't know, does that hit the top of the news stories? I'm sure it was important to Brendan and Lauren and those associated with them. According to the ABC News website, Brendan's wedding wasn't number one. He was outdone by Malcolm and Scott. Yes, the biggest story of 2018, according to the amount of clicks registered on the ABC News website, was Malcolm Turnbull being replaced as Prime Minister by Scott Morrison. Did you realise that took place? 2018? Some of you? Maybe not. Anyway, according to the ABC News site, that's the top story of 2018. Do you agree with that? Is that the most important thing that happened in the world in 2018? It all depends on your perspective, really, doesn't it? Maybe for most Australians, the downfall of Malcolm Turnbull was the biggest news story of the year, but not if you happen to live in Yass. Does anyone here know where Yass is? Dave, where's Yass?
Outside Canberra.
Okay. It's a sleepy town on the Hume Highway. How many kilometres north? It's actually north of Canberra. Anyone know? I did look it up. 60 kilometres. And according to the Yass Tribune, the biggest news story of 2018 was, wait for it, a truck crash on Burley Griffin Way that saw over 100,000 one-day-year-old chicks crash out of the truck onto the side of the road. And according to a Mr. Turner, who's a council worker, who actually oversaw the very important chick collecting operation, he said there were 108,000 chicks in there. We're just picking them up now. Now, I'm not sure how many they were able to recover, but it's good to know that the driver, he was sort of okay. He was only just taken to hospital with minor injuries. Now, as we can see, it depends on your perspective here, doesn't it? What's your horizon for working out what's important? What events are considered newsworthy depends on how far you want to look, on how wide your scope is. But on a worldwide scale, what news deserves to be at number one in the top news stories of the year? Well, I know it's going back a while now. It might seem to be old news to some. But almost 2,000 years ago, Jesus went to a synagogue service in his hometown of Nazareth, and he was invited to do the Bible reading, and it happened to be Isaiah 61. And Jesus read it out, and so he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." And after rolling up the scroll, Jesus gave it back to the attendant and he sat down. And as the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were staring at him, Jesus then said, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The people were amazed at the news, so much so that some had trouble believing it. Now, this incident, which occurs in Luke chapter 4, it occurred at the start of Jesus' ministry. And in doing this, Jesus was telling everyone that he was the fulfillment of Isaiah 61 and all of the other prophecies that occur in the Old Testament that speak about the new covenant. You might recall the story how Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit, who came down upon him in the form of a dove when he was baptized. Now, going back to the story of Noah, do you remember the dove that brought a freshly plucked olive leaf in its beak back to Noah to signal that the flood waters had receded? There's a connection between the dove of Noah and the dove that came down upon Jesus. The dove is a symbol of the end of judgment, a symbol of the commencement of new life. Friends, it's the Spirit who gives new life. And this is the Spirit with which Jesus was anointed at the time of his baptism. And true to Isaiah 61, what do we see? Jesus, he went forth preaching good news to the poor and humble, bringing comfort to the spiritually brokenhearted, and proclaiming freedom to those spiritually imprisoned by sin and death. Jesus claimed to be the fulfillment of this prophecy in Isaiah 61. So we can say that with the coming of Jesus into the world, the year of the Lord's favour has begun. And the day of vengeance against God's enemies, that's also approached. At the same time, according to this prophecy, the mourning and sadness of God's people who suffer in this world is going to be transformed into rejoicing and praise. Instead of being dressed for a funeral in mourning clothes and ashes, God's people are going to be decked out with fancy headgear and put on sweet perfume. Their faint spirit is going to be replaced by a spirit of praise. Instead of wallowing around in the dirt, God's people will be called oaks of righteousness. Although the word oaks there is probably indicating a tree which is called a terebinth. Now, a terebinth tree, it's related to the pistachio tree. It's a rather hardy tree that grows in difficult conditions. It produces good shade in the summer. Terebinth trees are distinctive trees in the Palestinian region. So when it says oaks of righteousness here, it's basically a metaphor of how God will establish his people as a result of them being made righteous in his eyes. This new life, this righteousness given to God's people will be for God's own glory. In our passage in verses 4 and 5, it talks about how God's people are going to rebuild the ancient ruins. There'll be foreigners who look after the fields and flocks of God's people. And all of this basically is just symbolism for the rebuilding of God's kingdom on earth and how foreigners, non-Israelites, will play a role together with Israelites in the work of this kingdom. And as verse 6 indicates, in that day, God's people will truly function as priests and servants of Yahweh. Now this recalls what God said to Israel back in Exodus 19. Israel was supposed to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, but they failed in that task. But now it's prophesied with the coming of Jesus into the world, this serving function of God's people, it's finally going to be brought to full fruition. With the establishment and development of God's kingdom on earth, the wealth of the world will pour into God's kingdom. Instead of shame, there'll be prosperity. Instead of dishonor, there'll be rejoicing and everlasting joy. So friends, as we reflect upon this prophecy in Isaiah 61, in the light of what we've been celebrating just recently at Christmas time, this reminds us of the fact that Jesus has come into the world to bring about the establishment of God's kingdom. This is why he has been anointed as the Christ, as the King of that kingdom, to bring in the freedom and comfort and joy of God to God's people, to bring in life in all of its fullness. And friends, this is what the Bible calls good news. The gospel has to do with the good news of the arrival of Jesus the King, who is bringing in his kingdom. And according to the Bible, this news is the number one news story every year. It's the overarching reality about which all of us need to be reminded, and we need to realize this is what determines reality. Now, in verses 8 and 9, we hear the voice of God himself. God defines himself as a God who loves justice and who hates robbery and injustice. In his faithfulness, true to his word, God is going to make an everlasting covenant with his people. So friends, this is the significance of Jesus coming into the world. You know, the blood which flowed from Jesus' body as he was nailed to the cross, that blood has established for us a new covenant, an everlasting covenant. And according to this new covenant, God's people, the true seed of Abraham in Christ, will be acknowledged by the world to be the offspring that God has blessed. One day it will be evident to everyone our decision to follow God was right. People will see the truth. They will see the reality of the new covenant. They will see the blessing of God's people. Here we see Jesus coming into the world. It fulfills God's promise to Abraham that through Abraham all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now, I don't know if that is good news to you, but I hope it is. And I assume that's one of the reasons why you're here today. But as we reflect upon the passing of 2018, as we think about human history more broadly, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the good news story of all time. So the question is, how should we respond to that news? Well, first of all, I reckon it makes sense for each of us to make sure that we're a part of what Jesus is doing. Are you a member of Christ's kingdom? Have you turned to him for freedom and comfort and joy? In the light of the new covenant reality of Jesus, have you accepted that? Have you made the decision to be a citizen of his kingdom? Or do you think that somehow you'll be right apart from Jesus? You're either a citizen of his kingdom or not. And if you're not a citizen of his kingdom, you'll miss out on what he has come to do. But if you're a member of his kingdom, please note the benefits of that as described in verses 10 and 11. In those verses, we hear the voice of the person who has experienced salvation through Jesus. This is the person who's been clothed in garments of salvation and covered in the robe of righteousness. If Jesus has saved you and transformed you to be righteous in God's eyes, then emotionally it's appropriate for you to reflect that reality. And in these verses we see the person who's experienced that salvation, he says basically, I've definitely got to rejoice in this fact. I've definitely got to exalt in the Lord and rejoice in God, who is the God of my salvation. Reflecting on the good news of Jesus, it should make you happier than the day of your wedding. Now, for those of you who happened to be there when Brandon and Lauren, they tied the knot, they exchanged the rings, and also a kiss too, I think I remember. It was only a few weeks ago, we probably still remember that. But did you notice the joy on their faces? Particularly as Lauren was led down the aisle, and then as they got to stand before each other on the stage for the first time. Yeah? They were happy. In fact, I was emotionally moved myself. I had to control myself at that moment in time. A wedding. It's a beautiful occasion. Lots of joy. But in verse 10 here, we see that the beauty and joy of a wedding is used as a picture of the beauty and joy of the believer who experiences God's gift of salvation. And friends, salvation beats even the wedding of Brendan and Lauren. So make sure you're a part of it. Make sure you enjoy it. Make sure you respond appropriately emotionally to the occasion. For just like a shoot sprouts forth from the dusty earth, just like seeds sown in the ground germinate to create a garden, so too the Lord is planting a garden of righteousness and praise on a worldwide scale. And friends, that is the good news story of 2018. It's the good news story of all time. It's the good news which will cross over into the new year and beyond. So please, make sure you're a part of that good news story. Make sure that you reflect God's righteousness and rejoice in being a part of what God is doing in this world through Jesus. This is God's story, and He deserves the praise.